The following shir has been presented by Dayan Yohanesen David Hul, Dayan for the Beis Avad in Yerushalayim, and is brought to you by the Beis Avad Halacha Center. To dedicate a daf, a perik, or an entire masechta, please call 1-888-485-8223 or email info@thehalachacenter.org.
Masechas Moed Kotten, Daf Gimel. Daf Gimel in Moed Kotten talks a lot about some halachas of Shmita of the seventh year, and as we are indeed approaching now the Shmita year, Kovo Shnasa Sheva Shnasa Shmita, I think it would be a good opportunity to give an outline of the main issues and concepts of Shmita of the seventh year and the halachas that apply. So first of all, to split Hilchos Shmita into two very broad categories, there's Shmita's Karka and Shmita's Ksofim. Shmita's Karka means the mitzvah not to work on the land, to be mafkir all the fruits of the land, and all the various halachas which are connected to this, which we will in Mitzvah Hashem discuss in more detail in this year. And then there's another concept of Shmita's Ksofim, which is a completely different idea, and that is that any person that is owed money, the debts are cancelled in the Shmita year. The machlok is whether it's the beginning of the Shmita year or the end of the Shmita year. Halacha lemaaseh paskin, at the end of the Shmita year, all debts which are owed are cancelled unless one writes a prosbul. Now that's a different subject altogether, and we're not going to discuss that today. Today we're going to discuss the mitzvah of Shmita's karka and all the halachas that apply to it. So first of all, the Torah says in Vayikra, Perek Kafei, Pasuk Beis, B'shov Tzoharetz, Shabbos Lashem. The mitzvah of Shmita is not to do any work on the land, which is, or the fruit, which is the produce which is growing on the land. And there's a mitzvah, Leisaseh, of Sodcho Leisizro, Mechamucho Leisizmor. One is not allowed to plant one's field during Shmita year, and one is not allowed to prune one's vineyard. Those are the two lavin. And then there's another two isurim of esfiach ketzircho lo sikzer ves inve nezirecho lo sifzer. You're not allowed to cut the things which grow in the normal way, and also you're not allowed to harvest the grapes in Shmita. We'll discuss this in a little bit more detail in a moment or two. And those are the mitzvahs of Shmita, primary mitzvahs of Shmita, not to work on the land. Interestingly, there is an opinion that holds that the mitzvah of Shmita is not only on the person himself, that a person is not allowed to work on the land in Shmita, but it's a mitzvah on the chefza of the land, so to speak. Just like there are opinions who hold that in the Gemara there's a musig of Shvisas Kalim, a person's Kalim on Shabbos are not allowed to be worked with even by a non-Jew, so too there are those who hold there's a mitzvah Shmita's Karka, which means to say that if you own Karka in Eretz Yisrael, not only are you not allowed to do any work on it, but you have to ensure that nobody works on your land, even that a goy should not work on your land. And if a goy works on land owned by the Jew, this opinion holds that the Jew is actually over the Esa of Shmita's Karka. This is the opinion of the Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Kuf Yud Beis, and there are others who hold like this as well. Kipshuta to Gemara Avodah Zarah Daf Tes Vav on the base. Certainly the way that the Tosas read understand it, and even more mafresh in the Tosas Rabbeinu Elchanan in Avodah Zarah there, it's implied that there is such a concept as Shmitas Haaretz, Shmitas Karka, which means not only not to work on it, but you have to make sure that nobody works on it, and if you allow someone else to work on it, you're over the mitzvah of Shmitas Karka. So now, as we mentioned earlier, the main melachas, which are also min ha Torah and Shmita, is Zriya and Zemira, which means planting and pruning, and then Sviach Ketzircho Lezitzer, Vezin Venezirecho Lezitzer. These are the melachas which are mafurish min ha Torah. There are many other melachas which are also also, but they are only also midrabbanon. Now, let's discuss the melachos which are also min ha-Torah. The first isur is Zeriya, Sodcho Leisizro. That means literally to plant seeds in the normal way, to plant wheat, barley, any type of crop, and including vegetables. This is forbidden, it's an isur lav to do this in Shmita year in Eretz Yisrael. However, to plant trees is not so simple. It's a machlokes rishonim. It's definitely osur to plant trees in Shemitah. Some hold it's only an issur midrabbanan. Rabbein Tam Shita is like that. But there are those who hold that it's planting trees is also osur min haTorah, and it's bechlal the issur of zeria. It doesn't only the issur of zeria doesn't only apply to seeds, but can also of tavua the yarokas, but can also apply to trees min haTorah according to some rishonim. With regard to the issur of kamchol sizmor kipshutoi, it means you're not allowed to trim vineyard, which means to say to prune it, to get rid of the dry branches in order to be mashpeach, to improve the vine. Generally with trees the pruning concept is to remove the branches which are not producing such good fruit or don't have the potential to produce such good fruit in order to concentrate, so to speak, the resources of the tree on the other branches. And therefore it's common in vineyards when there are branches which are dried up, we cut them off in order to improve the flow of nutrients to the branches which are still alive. So this is the malacha according to most poskim, that's the Pashtus, that's Rashi in Al Sugimo Kotten Taf Gimon Abad Aleph, explains that that's the concept of Zmira, which is forbidden, Kamachar Sizma, in the Shemitah. With regard to Zmira, the other trees which are not a Kerem, again there's a Machlokus Mephoroshim regarding this Issur. Some hold it's awesome in our Torah. Gefanim is only an example in the Torah, but also to prune other trees would also be awesome in our Torah. So there's Mashmah from the Rambam, the Shemitah Reoval, Perik Alav Halacha Beis, and other Rishonim. However, there are those who seem to imply that it's only an Issa Midrabbonon in other trees. The Issa Darais of Karambucholosisma is only on a Kerem and not on anything else. But those are the two Malochas Minatorah of working on the land. Now, as we mentioned earlier, the Torah also says, a Sfiach Kitzur Cholosikzur, that's in Venezirech or Lo Sivzur. Now, these Malochas are not also entirely, in other words, it doesn't mean you're not allowed to pluck any grapes from the vine or to cut any wheat which is grown. What it does mean is you shouldn't do it in the normal way, kederech ha-kotzrim and kederech ha-boitzrim. You have to do it with a shinui. In our Torah you're allowed to cut it, but only if you do it in a different manner to the way that it's normally done. To do it in the normal way is forbidden, but otherwise you're allowed to do it. And the proof of this is you're allowed to do it is because the Torah says you're allowed to eat perish leaves, as we'll see shortly, Mr. Shem. The only way to eat perish leaves is if you cut them off the tree or harvest them from the ground. So you are definitely allowed to harvest the wheat and the barley and the crops and cut fruit from the trees, but you have to do it in a different manner. But it should be clear that there's a fundamental difference between the Isurim and Atoya of Zeria and Zemira and the Isurim of Ketzira and Betzira. They're conceptually different. The Issur of Zeria and Zemira are related to working on the land. Since there's a mitzvah of the Shofsa Oretz, you're not allowed to work on the land, so therefore you're not allowed to do these two malachos because they're included in working on the land. Whereas when it comes to the Issur of Ketzira and Betzira, the concept of these Issurim is not because they're considered as working on the land, but rather because Peiros Shvi'is have a certain Kedusha, as we shall see shortly in Mitzvah Hashem, and because of that you're not allowed to cut them in the normal way. That's how the Mephoroshim explain the difference between these two sets of Lafim. Now, in addition to that, there is an Issur of Harisho, which means to plow the field in order to prepare it for Zeria. And the Torah says this Mufurush, it says Bechorish of Akotzir Tishbois, which Chazal learned goes on Shemitah as well, on Shabbos, and therefore you're not allowed to do Harisho in Shemitah. According to many Rishonim, this Issur Harisho is awesome in our Torah. So there's much stuff from Rashi and Rosh Hashanah that base on Mad Aleph and other Rishonim. However, there is no love for this. The Issur of Zeria and the Issur of Zemira, there's a love in the Torah, and therefore someone who does it during Shemitah gets Malkus. However, this is an Issur Aseh, the Choroshiv HaKotzit Tishbos, there's no Malkus, but it still will be awesome in our Torah. There are those who say in the Rambam that the Issur of Harisha is only Midrabbanon, but many Rishonim hold it's actually in our Torah. Now, The Mishnah is in Perek Beis of Masechet Shavuos and in Perek Ches list a number of other melachos, altogether another 17 melachos which are forbidden to do in Shemitah. These are not Mefurosh min HaTorah, but according to most opinions these are also Midrabbanan. So they are the four basic Isurim where there's a Lav. There's one Isur of Harisha, which is Pashtas and Mitzvahs Aseh min HaTorah, and then there are a number of other Malachas which are also Midrabbanan in addition to the ones min HaTorah. Now there's one very important halacha which one needs to know in this regard, and it's mentioned in our Gemara here in Morid Katan Taf Gimel Amud Aleph, and that is that it's clear that the malachas you're not allowed to do on the land or on the trees or on the things which are growing during Shemitah is only if it's to improve the land or to improve the tree, but avruyi ilona. However, ukmi ilona is permitted. Ukmi ilona means a malacha which you're doing not to improve the tree, but to protect the tree from damage. Doesn't make it better, but it stops it from getting any worse. And it's clear from our sugya that that's permissible during Shemitah. That's not included in the lav in the Shemitah. Rashi in Tzav Yad in Noed Cotton, who explains that the reason why this is permitted is because malachas which don't improve the tree are not considered as malacha which is working on the karaka. The Issur Shemitah is to work on the karaka, and therefore any malacha which involves in improving the tree is also considered as improving the karaka. Whereas if it's just preventing the fruit from going to rot or from being destroyed, that's not considered a work which is improving the karaka or the mechubala karaka, and that's why it's permitted during Shavuos. Another important concept to know with regard to Hilchos Shavuos is the musik of Tosefes Shavuos. Shavuos, Shemitah year, begins really on Rosh Hashanah. On the first of Tishri is Rosh Hashanah Leshmitin, the first Mishnah in Masechet Rosh Hashanah. However, there are malachas which are forbidden to be done even in Erev Shavuos, which is at the end, towards the end of the sixth year. And there are also midin Tosefes Shavuos, Shemashifim Michoel HaKodesh. Just by Shabbos, we find that there's a mitzvah Tosefes Shabbos, to add on to Shabbos at the beginning of Shabbos and at the end of Shabbos. So too, by Shemitah, there's a mitzvah of Tosefes Shavuos. For example, Harisha, which is done, plowing, which is done at the end of the sixth year, Letzorech Shavuos, is also forbidden. According to Rabbi Kiva, this is learned from the Pasuk of Bechol Sheva Kotzeh Tishbos, and it's Lechorah and Issa Min HaTorah. However, Rabbi Shmuel argues with this, and Gemara, Al Gemara, and Mokotten, Daf Gimel on the base, and he holds that it's only Halacha Namoshe Misina, which means it's also Dibderaisa, but it's not learned from this Pasuk. Again, the Ikur Adin of Tosefes Shavuos is Min HaTorah. The Chachomim were mostly various different additional Isurim during the sixth year. Even though certain things are Mutar Min HaTorah, the Rabbanan added on certain things, as is Mavor in our sugya in Moed Katan here. Nowadays, however, we're not knowing for most of these halachas of Tosefes Shemitah, and you can plough right up until Rosh Hashanah, so says the Rambam Hilchos Shemitah of the Yovel, Perek Gimel Halacha Aleph, because Rabban Gamliel, the Beis Dino, Bitlu Isor Isor Shal Tosefes Shavuos, and they were the Rabban Gamliel, the Dino, ended this halacha of Tosefes Shavuos, and they allowed up until Rosh Hashanah the Shavuos to plow. So as Mavor in our sugya here, nonetheless, there are certain halachas which are no gear right towards the end of Shemitah, the last few days of Shemitah, which are no gear even nowadays. Now we come to the concept of Kedusha Shavuos. Peres Shemitah have a Kedusha. The Torah says, "V'ois haShabbos ha'ois lochem la'ochla." And we understand from this, we learn from this, the Gemara Darshins in several places, la'ochla, that you're allowed to eat the Peres Shavuos. And in fact, the Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvahs says it's a mitzvah to eat Peres Shavuos. Someone who eats Peres which grew in Shavuos is actually mekama mitzvah, shenema, v'ois haShabbos ha'ois lochem la'ochla. We also learn from this word la'ochla certain miutim. For example, the Gemara in Pesachim that nun beis on beis darshens la'ochla v'leila hefset, which means to say you're allowed to eat perishables, but you're not allowed to destroy them. As I learned from here, you can't use perishables for anything which they're not normally used for. So something which you normally eat, you're allowed to eat it, but you can't do anything else with it. Something which you normally drink, you're allowed to drink, but can't do anything else with it. So something which you normally use to anoint, like oil, you can do it sicha, but you can't do anything else with it. And therefore, as a result of this, you're not allowed to destroy any peiros shavis in a manner which is not normally used for. So, as a result of this, this is very again nowadays when we have peiros which have grown in Shemitah, that they have a kedusha shavis, you're allowed to eat them, but you can't destroy them. Well, normally one eats fruit, but one can't destroy any fruit which is edible for humans or even for animal consumption. So if it's edible for animals, then also you have to be careful not to destroy it. And therefore, as a result of this, if a very common example of this is when a person eats an apple of shviz, if you want to peel the apple, then the peels are really edible, and they have a kedusha shviz. And therefore you can't dispose of them in the normal manner by destroying them, because the kedusha shviz you can't destroy. So you're not even allowed to throw it into the garbage pail because it's an act of destroying the peels. And therefore what you have to do with this is you have to put them in a separate bag and wait until they rot. And then once they've rot, the peels have rotted, then you may dispose of them in a normal manner. And therefore this is one of the big issues with peiros shviz nowadays in Eretz Yisrael, especially that you have to be careful not to throw away parts of peiros shviz which are still edible. Even if you personally don't want to eat them, you have to be very careful to dispose of them in a mechuvadik manner and make sure you don't dispose of them in a way that they actually get destroyed, but rather that they get destroyed by themselves. That you're allowed to do. As an addition to this, of course, this is only when the food is edible. If the food is no longer edible, then you can dispose of it in a normal manner. Another important aspect of this concept of kedusha shviz is that you're not allowed to buy and sell peiros shviz. The Gemara darshins lo ochlo velo lischira, Gemara and kedushin daf nun beis madala, that you're not allowed you're not allowed to trade in peiros shviz. This is just min haTorah pashtus, and it's darshan for this pasuk. And as a result of that, peiros shviz can't be bought and sold in a normal manner. Part of the reason for this is that peiros shviz have to be hefka. The pasuk says like this: the pasuk in Vayikra Perek Kafei, "Va'ois haShabbos va'ois lachem la'ochla, l'cho la'avtocho v'la'motzecho l'schircho l'shabcho l'gerim imoch v'lihemtecho v'la'chay shevotzecho tiyekot v'osalecho." That means to say that the peiros have to be hefka for anybody to come and take, for any human, even for animals to be able to come and take it. It's also learned from the pasuk in Shmos, "Vashviz tishmeteno unatashto," that the mitzvah is the same in HaTorah, to be unatashto, that you should leave the peiros shviz to be hefka. Now, what is this mitzvah of hefka of peiros shviz? First of all, the land is not hefka; it's only the peiros which are hefka. And there's a machlokes in the early Achronim how one has become this mitzvah. It is the mitzvah to actually be mafke the peiros. Does the Baal Asod, the owner of the field, have to stand up at the beginning of Shemitah and say, "I hereby am mafke all the peiros"? That would seem to be the opinion of the Beis Yosef in Shuvas Afkas Rochel. Or that the peiros are automatically hefka. The Torah is mafke them, so to speak. What the Achronim call afkata the malka, the king, the Rebbeinu Shalom, is mafke the peiros. When it says tishmeteno on the tashta, the mitzvah to make your peiros means hefke is not that you have to stand up and be mafke the peiros of your field, but rather you have to be noig and minig of hefke. You have to stop looking after them. You can no longer lock up your premises and not allow anybody to come into your field and take the fruit. But you don't have to actually be mafke at the pile. The Torah automatically makes it hefka. Your duty as the farmer is to make sure that it's available for anybody who wants to come and take it. And you can't be guard it and protect anyone from coming into your field to take the fruit. This is the opinion of the Mabit, and there's a big machlokes in the times of the basis of the Mabit in this regard. Most Achronim Paskin like the Mabit, that there's no chiyuv to actually be mafka the peiros shviz, but there's an afkar to the malka, the Torah is mafka the peiros shviz. As we said earlier, since the Perish Shvi'is Hefker is in addition to this, the Ochra of Alei Skor, you're not allowed to trade in Perish Shvi'is, which means to say that even if you go into a field, whether it's your field or someone else's field, with the fruit are now Hefker, and you take them for yourselves, which you're allowed to do, you're allowed to eat the fruit in the normal manner, as we said earlier, not destroy them, you're not allowed to trade in this fruit either. And therefore you can't take huge amounts of Perish Shvi'is from the Hefker and open up a store and start selling it. Now, that's all very well for people who live in the suburbs, nearby the fields, so they can support themselves throughout the Shemitah year by taking produce from the Hefker produce, which is all around them. But what about the people who live in the cities? For them it's not so easy to go every day and take fresh fruit from the fields, which are Hefker. So how are they supposed to have produce during the year? If there's nobody buying and selling, then the shops will all be empty, and there will be no fruit available to people who live in the cities. So there is a Tosefta in Perek Ches and Masechet Shemitah, which many Rishonim learned, particularly the Ramban in Vayikra learned, that there's a concept of what we call nowadays Oitzer Bezdin. What is Mavur in the Tosefta is that the Bezdin used to appoint shluchim, used to appoint agents on behalf of the Bezdin, to go to the fields and to take and harvest the Hefka produce, and then bring it into a big Oitzer, into a big storehouse, which was not owned by anybody, but it was supervised by the Beis Din and was given out to the people of the city. Now, in order to make sure that this system would work, we would have to pay the volunteers to go down to the field and harvest the fruit, package it, and ship it into the towns. They wouldn't do this for free. And therefore, the Beis Din would set up a system whereby people who are living in the town would pay a fee for the work done in picking, packing and processing and transferring the fruit and the produce into the town, and then the fruit would actually be taken for free. So in this way, produce and fruit was supplied to the people who lived in the cities as well, and they paid for it, but they weren't over the issue of Schorim and Perish Shvi'is, because they weren't actually trading in the Perish Shvi'is. Everything they paid for was only the costs of picking and transferring the fruit to the towns, but the actual fruit itself they weren't paying for. And indeed nowadays they have this concept of Oitz of Beis Din in Eretz Yisrael as well. The first time they started this off was in Shnas Tof Reish Ayin. The Rabbanim Yerushalayim started using this to Sefta Halacha Lamaisa and set up the system. It was called Oitz of Beis Din. It was started again more recently by the Chazon Ish. And in this way, Perishes of Shvi'is were widely available for people even who didn't live next door to a field. And although people do have to pay for it, because they're paying for the costs of packaging and transportation, nonetheless, usually the Perishes and Oats are based in stores, so to speak, are significantly cheaper than the rest of the 6 years, because you're not actually paying for the fruit, you're only paying for the costs of picking and packaging and transferring to the stores. So to come back to what we were discussing earlier, Perus of Shvi'is must be made Hefka. Once they're Hefka, anyone can go and take them and take for himself, but you're not allowed to trade in them, and you're not allowed to destroy them. Another important halacha to know is that the Mishnah in the Sefer Shvi'is, Yud, Mishnah Hay, says, Ein Metzi in Perus Shvi'is L'chutz L'Aretz, you're not allowed to take Perus of Shvi'is outside Eretz Yisrael. And the Baal Tanura there explains that the reason for this is because it's connected to the mitzvah of Birur. This brings us on to the next halacha. There's an additional halacha in Hilchos Shemitah, which is Birur Perus Shvi'is. The Torah says again, that the fruit should be hefka and should be available for even for animals, your domestic animals and even wild animals. The fruit should be available. So the Gemara learns from Pesachim Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis, learns from here that there's a concept of Biur Perus Shvi'is. Because the Torah says the food should be available for your domestic animals and for the wild animals, the Gemara learns that as long as the food is available in the field for the wild animals, you're allowed to feed your domestic animals. As long as there's fruit still available in the field for the wild animals, you're allowed to feed your domestic animals. But if, says the Gemara, there's no longer food available in the field for wild animals, then you must destroy any perish shvis that you have in your home. So from here we learn there is a concept of beer perish shvis. When each fruit in its season runs out in the fields, you then have to perform the mitzvah of beer perish shvis. And what is the mitzvah of beer perish shvis? The machlokes is Rishonim. Most Rishonim learn that the mitzvah of beer min haTorah is mitzvah min haTorah, and many Rishonim learn that the mitzvah of beer is to take all the perish shmita that you might have collected from Hefka, and you have at home, take them all out of your house and be mafke them again. This is a mitzvah of beer perish shmita when the fruit is no longer growing in the tree, in the fields, there's nothing left in the fields. Then any perish shmita which you might have collected and you have at home, you have to be mafkir. So you have to take it out of your house normally and you mafkir it. This is the opinion of many Rishonim. And Elchon Lemaisa, this is what we do. Once you be mafkir it, you're then allowed to take it. Either you or anybody else who's present at the time can be zeichem and hafkir and take it back again, and then you can eat it again. However, if you're not mafkir in bizman abir, when the time of beer comes, then no one is allowed to eat these perish shvis. So says the Rambam. According to the Rambam, however, the mitzvah of beer of perish shvis is actually to destroy the fruit. That means to say that when it comes to the time when there's no longer fruit available in the field, then the mitzvah of beer of perish shvis means you have to make sure you no longer have it at home at all. So you can either give it to other people to eat it, or you can eat it yourself. And if you can't, because you don't need to eat it anymore, there's no one else to eat it, then you have to actually destroy it by burning it in fire or destroying it in any other way. That is the opinion of the Rambam in regard to the mitzvah of beer. As I say, many Rishonim learn the mitzvah is just to be mafkir, and that is the shita mukubalis halacha lamaisa. Because each fruit has a different season, the zman habir will be different for every fruit. Because, as we said earlier, the zman habir is the time when the fruit is no longer available in the field. And each fruit will be different. Apples will have a different season for oranges for when there's no longer fruit growing in the fields. And therefore, in Eretz Yisrael, they produce every Shemitah calendars with zman habir, and a regular announcement is in the newspapers that you should know, that every so often you'll see an announcement that now this certain particular fruit is no longer available, it's no longer growing in the fields, there's none left in the fields, and therefore it's now the zman habir for this fruit. So if you have any perish shvis of this fruit, you have to take them out of the house, be mafka them, and then you or anybody else can be zeich and take them back in again. There is an additional halacha with Rabbonon in Shemitah, which is a concept of Svichin. Svichin is anything which grows by itself during the Shemitah year, which is not fruit of the tree. Anything, any type of tavur, produce, or kidneys, or legumes, or vegetables, which grow from year to year, they're replanted there and grow from year to year, they are forbidden to be eaten entirely during the Shemitah year, even if they weren't planted by Issa. Not only is it also to plant these things, but if they grew by themselves with seeds left over from last year, you're not allowed to have any hanah from these things. And this is an Issa midrabbonon. There is the opinion of Rabbi Kiva and Pesachim that Nunalev holds that it's also min haTorah, but the Chachomim and the Halach is like them hold that it's mutar min haTorah, but it's also min drabbonon. And the reason why Chazal made the Gezeirah is because of people who did not keep the Shemitah, and there was a chashash that they would go and plant these things during the Shemitah year when no one was looking, and then when these things would grow, they would eat them, and they would say that we didn't plant them this year, these are seeds left over from last year that were dropped last year and they grew by themselves. And therefore, in order to avoid this, in order to make sure that people wouldn't do such a thing, Chazal asked anything which grows by itself during the Shemitah year. However, as we said, this only applies to Tvua and kidneys and Yerokas. However, Peirus of fruit which grows on the tree, there's no Issa Svichim at all. And also fruit which grow by a Goy, there's no Issa Svichim, because the whole Chashash doesn't apply to a Goy's field. This is very negay nowadays, the issue of svichim, particularly when it comes to vegetables and things like that. But if they grow in Shemitah year, then there's a problem with svichim, and one may not eat them at all. Then we come on to the two concepts of Shomer v'Nehefata. As we mentioned earlier, you're not allowed to guard your field to make sure no one comes in. You have to make it Hefka. Again, you don't have to be Mafka the field, but you have to make the fruit Hefka. And even according to the Mabit, you don't have to actually be Mafka, but it's Hefka to the Malka. You have to leave the facility or the field open so that anyone can come in and take the fruit, which is now Hefka. If you don't do that, and you're over on this Issa, and you guard the field and make sure no one comes into it, and you don't make it Hefka, then there are some Rishonim who hold that this fruit, which is Shomer, which was guarded and not made Hefka, is actually Osu Barachilo. Tosfos Nivom and Stuff Kufkaf Beis brings the Shit of Rabbi Yitam, goes like that. However, Rashi Nivom implies there that these, even though someone was over the Issa and he guarded the field, nonetheless the fruit don't become Osa and they're Mutar Barachilo. However, you're not allowed to, the Ramban says, you're not allowed to buy them from a place of somebody who actually guarded it. Similarly, with Halacha of Ne'evad. Ne'evad means someone who worked on the field. Again, it's forbidden to work on the field during Shemitah, Minat Torah. What happens if someone did so? Is there an Issur on the Perus which grow as a result of that? So Ramban in Yevomus there in Kuf Kafes and Medalav holds that these Perus become Osu Barachilo. But there are those, the Rambam and Hilchus Shmita Vevel, Perek Dalad, Halacha Tesvav implies that although it's Osa to work on the land during Shmita, if you did work on the land, the fruit does not become Osa, it is still Mutter. Now, what is called the point at which the fruit becomes considered as Perish Shmias or not? So it depends very much on what type of produce we're discussing. When we talks about Perus or Ilon, fruit which grows on the tree, then everything goes after Chanota, which means when the buds start appearing on the tree. If the fruit budded on the tree during Shmita, then it's got a Hilchos Shmita Shvius applied to it. However, if the fruit budded in the sixth year, then Perus Shmita is considered a sixth year produce. Even if it carries on growing into the seventh year and you actually harvest it in the seventh year, it's not considered as Perus Shvius. So that's with regard to fruit, we go after the chanota, the budding stage. With tavua, with wheat and barley and grain which grows in the ground, the cutoff point is a third of its growth. If it grows a third of its growth in the sixth year, then even if it carries on growing into the seventh year, it's considered a sixth year produce. Where if it grows at least a third of its the initial third of its growth in the seventh year, then it's considered as Perus Shvius. Finally, with vegetables, it doesn't go with the halachos of Shemitah, don't go not after Achanota, not after the Shlish, but it goes after Nikita. It all depends when it was picked. It was picked in the seventh year, then it's got Kedusha Shvius, even if it grew mostly in the sixth year. And the word in Faket, if it grew in the seventh year, but it was picked in the eighth year, then it's got no Kedusha Shvius. So again, with Perus it goes after Chanota, with Tavu it goes after Shlish, and with Irokas it goes after Lekita. Esrog is unique in this respect. Gemara in the beginning of Kiddushin. And with regard to Maisa, if it grows in the sixth year the size of a pull, the size of a bean, then it's considered as a sixth year produce. But in Yishmita we go Basa Lekita. And therefore, if it's picked in the seventh year, it has Kedusha Shvius. And therefore, people this year will be makpid usually to buy an esrog which was picked dafka before Rosh Hashanah of the seventh year. So it was picked in the sixth year, and therefore would have no Kedusha Shvius. There is a unique shit of the Shloah who says that by fruit, Tu Bishvat is the cutoff point, even with regard to the Loch of Shvius. That's a Das Yochid. But it's sometimes relied upon for those who didn't manage to get an esrog which was picked before Rosh Hashanah and only got one which was picked after Rosh Hashanah. These halachos were with regard to the halachos of Kedusha Shvius, as we pointed out. But with regard to the issur of tzvichim of the irokas, with vegetables which grow during Shemitah by themselves, the Rishonim will hold that if they start growing in the sixth year, even though they didn't finish off in the Shemitah year, they only finished off in the Shemitah year and they were picked in Shemitah year, they have no Issur of Svichim and they're Mutar Bachila, although they will have a Kedusha Shvius. So is Mashma from the Ramban in Vayikra and Halacha Lamaisa, that's how the Chaznish paskins, although there is a hold that with regard to the Issa of Svichim, we also look at when they were picked, and that's the only thing which decides whether they're Issa of Svichim or not. Here is Nochrim, fruit which grew on land which belongs to Goyim. That is a big machlokas as well. There's a machlokas again, the Beis Yosef and the Mabit. The Beis Yosef holds it in the Kesef Mishnah, Hilch Shmita V'Yovel, Perik Dalat Alach V'Kaptes, and in Chuvas of the Beis Yosef and Afkos Reuchel, that Peiros which grew in land in Eretz Yisrael which belongs to Goyim has no Kedushas Shvi'is, and therefore they can be eaten in the normal way. You can throw away the peels, there's no Issa of Schora, there's no problem. You can eat all the Peiros Nochrim in the normal way, and there's no issue of Kedushas Shvi'is. However, the Mabit, who lived at the same time as the Beis Yosef, was Bar Plugta, and the Maharit, his son, and others, all hold that Peiros Nochrim do have the Kedushas Shvi'is. Halach and Amayis, this is the Machlokas till today. The Rabbanei Yerushalayim of Paskin for many generations, like the Beis Yosef, who was more of the Arab Yisrael, the Peiros Nochrim have no Kedushas Shvi'is. However, the Chazanish, Paskin like the Mabit, that Peiros Nochrim do have Kedushas Shvi'is. As a result of this, there's very much a difference of situation in between, for example, Yerushalayim and Bnei Brak. The Eid HaRedus, Paskins like Minig Yerushalayim, the Peiros Nochrim have no Kedushas Shvi'is, whereas many people in Bnei Brak follow the Patsak of the Chazanish, who is the more of the Asur, if we like, of Bnei Brak, the Peiros Nochrim do have Kedushas Shvi'is. And therefore, there are many more bins, garbage bins, which are provided in Bnei Brak for Peiros Shvi'is, whereas we say you throw away the peels and the cores of fruit of Shvi'is in a special bag and not mixed in with the other garbage, because they have Kedushas Shvi'is and you're not allowed to destroy them via diary, you have to let them rot by themselves. And this phenomenon is much more common in Bnei Brak than it is in Yerushalayim, because in Yerushalayim they sell in the stores a lot more Peiros Nochrim, fruit which is grown on Arab land or Goyish owned land, and in that, in Yerushalayim, they hold there is no Kedushas Shvi'is. Whereas in Bnei Brak, that wouldn't be a solution, because even if you buy Peiros which have grown on land which belongs to Goyim, according to the Chazanish, it still has Kedushas Shvi'is. And therefore the stores in Bnei Brak have more stores which claim to be selling Peiros Shvi'is than they have in Yerushalayim, because Yerushalayim buys a lot of Peiros from Nochrim. Most of the fruit stores and vegetable stores in Yerushalayim are selling either Peiros Nochrim, which have no Kedushas Shvi'is according to this opinion, or they sell Peiros from Oitz and Beis Din, which again, as we noted before, it's a heter to get around the problem of Schora, because you're paying for the work done in packaging and transportation, you're not paying for the actual fruit. But there is, of course, the issue of Kedushas Shvi'is, because the Peiros of Eitz Berzim are grown on land which is owned by Jews, and that does have the Kedusha of Shvi'is, and therefore one has to be careful to be knowing with them in the correct manner. Finally, let's discuss briefly Shvita Bizman Hazeh, if it's been a Torah or if it's been a Rabbonim. The Machlokes Tanoim and Amoraim in several places in Shas, in Megillah Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, and in other places, if Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, the Gabbai Mitzvahs, applies nowadays. Some hold that the Kedusha Rishena, which was Niskatya Eretz Yisrael at the time of Yeshua ben Nun, has never become bottled. Some hold that that was bottled, but the Kedusha Shneel, with that Eretz Yisrael and Niskatya Shatle Day Ezra at the beginning of Baal Sheni, has not become bottled. And some hold that even Kedusha Shneel is Nisbatla. And then if that's the case, then all mitzvahs of Teruz Ba'oretz nowadays are only Midrabbonon and not Minatur. Halacha Lamaisa in Rishonim also is machlokas how we paskin, according to which Tanaim or Amoraim we paskin. According to Rambam and other Rishonim, the Kedusha Shneel is not bottled, and therefore lechera these mitzvahs would apply midaraisa. Other Rishonim, such as the Sefer HaTrumah and Hilchos Eretz Yisrael, hold that Kedusha Shneel has also been bottled, and therefore these mitzvahs are only midrabbanan nowadays. According to the Rambam, and those who hold like them, that Kedusha Shneel is not bottled, there are those who hold that as a result of that, Shmita nowadays must be Minat Torah. See, for example, the Kesef Mishnah in Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel, Perik Dalet, Halacha Kaf Hei, Perik Tes, Halacha Beis. However, there are those hold that even though, according to the Rambam, the Kedushas Shnia is not bottled, nonetheless, Shmit Mizman Hazeh is only Midrabbanan. And the reason for this, they say, is that Shemitah is not only Torah on Kedusha, whether Kedusha Shnir is a bottle or not. It's also Torah on the Yovel. So there's a mashmas from the Rambam that Shemitah is only Noeg, Bizmancha Yovel Noeg. Every 50th year is a Yovel. Yovel nowadays definitely does not apply to this Manazem and Torah. And the reason is because Yovel only applies, only halach of Yovel when Kol Yoshveho or Leho. That means that all of Klai Yisrael are living in Eretz Yisrael, which Rishonim explained means not necessarily that everybody's living in Eretz Yisrael, but Rav Klai Yisrael are living in Eretz Yisrael, and you need actually more than that, not just that they're living in Eretz Yisrael, but you need that every Shevet, the Shevet is living in the Nachla, which was given out to him. And only then does Yovel apply. So since those conditions are not fulfilled nowadays, there is no mitzvah Yovel nowadays. So according to these opinions, even though the Rambam holds the Kedusha Shania is not bottled, nonetheless, Shmita Minotera does not apply nowadays, it's only Mirabonim, because Shmita only applies when Yovel applies, and there's no Yovel nowadays. That's the opinion of the Mabit, it's the opinion of the Mari Kukus, and then the Shmita Yovel, Perik, Tesalocha Beis, and many others hold like that. There's a big debate what the Rambam actually paskens in this regard. Halacha Lamaisa, many poskim paskin that Shmita Bizman Hazeh is only Midrabanon. So is Mashmah from the Torah and the Beis Yosef and Yerodeus and Shin Lamed Aleph and others. However, there are a number of poskim hold that actually Rav Rishonim hold the Shmita Bizman Hazeh is Min HaTorah. So held the Netziv Lecher in Meshiv Dovo Chelik Beis Siman Zayin, and Zayin Mashman the Beis Halevi, and Chelik Gimel Siman Aleph, and others. So it's actually at Machlokes Achronim, what is the status, what is the situation with regard to Rishonim? Whether Rav Rishonim hold the Shmita Mizman Hazeh is Doraisa, or whether Rav Rishonim hold the Shmita Mizman Hazeh is Rabbanon. I'm not sure, but I think that the Ongun of Neshita is assumed to be like those who hold the Shmita Mizman Hazeh, Halacha L'Maaseh Midrabanan. So that is a brief summary of the main issues of Hilchos Shmita, the issues of doing Malacha on the land, the Chiyuv to be Mafke the Peiros, the concepts of Tosefes Shvi'is, the concepts of Kedushas Shvi'is, the concept of Biru Peiros Shvi'is, the Issur Drabanan Svichim, the concepts of Shomer V'Ne'evad, and the stages at which the fruit gets Kedushas Shvi'is, the issue of Peiros Nochrim, the Machlokes, whether there is Kedushas Shvi'is with Peiros Nochrim, and finally the Nosei, the subject of whether Shmitav is Manazeh, is Midoraisa, Midrabanan. There is another very prominent issue, which is a whole subject unto itself, which is the issue of the Heter Mechira, which has been known for around a century, when the Rabbanut sells off the much of the land which is owned by the Jews in Eretz Yisrael to a Goy, and in that way the land becomes, according to this opinion, land which belongs to Goyim, and therefore it doesn't have Kedushas, the mitzvah Shmita, and therefore it's possible that one is allowed to be able to work on the land. This was a heter which was originally introduced b'shas habchak gadol a number of generations ago, over 100 years ago, and there's been a subject of much debate whether it's bechlal valid, whether it works at all, and even if it is valid, whether it's only a heter for shas habchak, or whether it could be even applied nowadays. And if it is valid, how should it be done? What's the correct way to do it? This is a subject of much debate in the poskim since it was first instituted by Rabbi Yitzchak Kahneman and others in the late 1800s, and is a matter of ongoing debate until today. That's a separate subject in itself, a subject of much controversy. And every Shmita, as the years go by, less and less farmers seem to have to rely on the Heter Mechira, and more farmers seem to be able to rely on the concept of owning the land in Shmita, and nonetheless being mekayim the mitzvah Shmita by not working on the land, by being mafkid the payers to anybody who wants to come and take them, and to be zeichet to be mekayim the mitzvahs of Shmita, which in the schus of the kiyum of mitzvah Shmita brings the final geula, because as the psukim say, the os tirtz or os shabbos yisrael, the reason, one of the primary reasons for the geulas was that they didn't keep Shmita, and therefore if we show that we are able to keep the mitzvahs of Shmita, even though it requires mesiras nefesh, nonetheless, it's a mitzvah of leaving the land fallow and not working on it, leaving it hefker and treating perus as kedusha shviyos, and according to the Ramban, actually eating the perus as shviyos, which is a mitzvah. And if we show our love for the land to keep the mitzvahs of those parts before the mitzvah shviyos, it means Hashem it should be a schus for all of Klal Yisrael and bring the geula to lay more to the court.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.